Hey, y'all. Welcome to the People Purpose Podcast, the show that explores all of the ins and outs, challenges, and opportunities HR, people managers, and all people face at work every day. I am one of your co-hosts, Chaz Fields, and I am with my well-branded but not matching colleague.
Julie Devlin. What? We both have UKG shirts on.
We did not plan this. No. Julie, I have several meetings today that we have the privilege of representing UKG, and I hope we do it well. But I had meetings today that required me to wear the UKG shirt, and I actively chose not to go with the purple. Not that I'm bashing purple.
No, it was okay. Just not... Well, I have the purple because I'm cold.
Can I tell you why I did not choose the purple? Yes. Because I'm still on my knee scooter, and I had to go with the shirt that I could grab the easiest while being on my knee scooter. I could have crutched in there, but then I can't. It's hard for me to carry a shirt while I'm crutching. I didn't want to wrinkle. You get it, right? Like, you get it.
I don't get it because I've never knee crutched, but you know, I'm sure that's
not knee crutched. Used crutches?
Oh, I've used crutches, but I thought you said you had a knee scooter.
I do, but the knee scooter can't go into my closet the way as if I were to crush. Like, it's just, it doesn't have a great turning radius.
First world
it's a whole thing.
Okay. I'm joking. I can't imagine having to be on crutches all the time. Like, I have been on crutches before. I had knee surgery once.
It's not fun.
It's not. But you know, anyway.
Tell me something good besides this woe is me, Chaz is on crutches thing.
It is woe is you. I don't like to see you injured. Something good. Oh man, I don't know, Chaz. There's a lot sort of going on right now. I think that when I think of something good, I think of my mood and I think of how it's getting warmer. And whenever it's warmer, I get happier. And I'm learning that about myself. And I'm coming to terms with the fact that when it's cold, I'm unhappy. And what does that mean?
Can we get a quick update? Like, have you been researching maybe some places down south? Like,
maybe.
What's going on with that?
Maybe. Yeah. I mean, you know, Chaz, UKG, you know, we're remote employees, obviously, but UKG right. has an office in our headquarters is in Weston, Florida. Yep. And you know, every time I'm there, Chaz, I just get a little bit more, boy, it would be nice to have a place here or, you know, not even necessarily near the headquarters, but maybe near the headquarters just for convenience. But,
you got bit by the beach bug. You need to be close to the beach.
I've loved the beach ever since I was a kid. I would very much, I like where I live here in Maryland. I just every winter I get more and more, I don't know. I get it. Not angry. Just it's like, it's just cold. It's cold. And it's not,
and it's
you know,
like
it's not that
months.
I want to, I know it's not that I want to get rid of my house or sell my house here in Maryland, right. But maybe, right. You know, just maybe I'll winter somewhere warm. We'll see.
I love that because we
travel a lot too. So I have to make sure that it makes sense.
There you go. Well, there you go. And you don't have, yeah, that's great. So for me, I am something good is Julie, I started a gratitude journal.
Oh,
okay. And I kid you not, I'll show you the entry, but today I wrote, I am grateful for you.
Oh.
and the growing conversations and the challenging conversations that you and I often have that people don't see on here. Mm-hmm. Because we agree on a lot, but we disagree on a lot too. And we have great conversations about that. But, you know, in this gratitude journal, shout out to Kim, my therapist, who encouraged me to do this, was I always do like, I am grateful for, you know, typically 2 to 3 things. And then I recognize something that I'm strong at or I'm good at. So, you know, the I am phrase and then the I will, you know, I always finish out with the I will, and that could be, I will brush my teeth today, or I will continuously learn, you know, whatever it is to kind of reinforce. And what I found is it's a mini goal set, right? Like it's a goal that I can go back and reflect and say, oh yeah, like I've been doing that. And I said I was going to do it, and therefore I followed through with it. But it's really helped change my mindset a little bit, right? Kind of like you recognizing I don't like the cold, yeah, so I'm going to change my circumstance. You know?
Right, right. Yeah, change. It's like if you don't change, everything's going to stay the same, right? So, and I think that in every leap in life, mm-hmm. it's always been that, right? It's always been that resistance to change and stepping out of your comfort zone just a little bit. So is the gratitude journal, is the idea of it to wake up and have positivity for the rest of the day? Is that it?
Yeah. Yeah. It's reframing your mind, right? It's really easy to get caught in a negative mindset. And think about it. When you pick up your phone in the morning, we hope that the news is good, or you're going through whatever it is on your phone and it brings you a laugh or whatever, but that's, you know, semi-temporary. Mm-hmm. The goal of the gratitude journal is to rewire your brain to recognize the good things first and foremost. And that really has shaped my day differently, and that it's made a big impact. It really has. I'm about, I don't know, 10 days in, and it's really working well.
Awesome. So, well, I'm glad that you're finding that to be helpful.
Finding that peace.
Yeah, helpful. Zen. Yeah. Right. Zen. Yeah. So let's talk about this today's business stat, Chaz.
Okay. So yeah. Let's jump in. Inc.com. As we do every episode, if you're a new listener, we always start with a business stat of the day. That is from Inc.com. A survey found that hefty 15-20% of U.S. workers are late to the job on a regular basis. Employees may be tardy for a number of reasons, and we'll talk about those, but the consequence is almost always the same. Lateness costs companies money. Shocker, right? Research suggests tardiness is costing American businesses billions of dollars a year. First thoughts, Jules?
So is overtime.
Do you want to have this debate?
It's the lateness. Okay, lateness is costing billions of dollars, but so is working more hours, you know, costing billions of dollars too.
The source, right?
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't disagree with you. I went down the Google wormhole, right? Mm-hmm. So I was doing
researching.
I went down the Google wormhole, and I found another study that talked about if 2 times a week, 10 minutes, an employee is consistently late, that is no different than essentially using a week's paid time off in what you would accrue that is costing the company money. Right.
Okay. Now that's an interesting way to look at it. Okay. I'm with you. But we don't look at it that way. We don't look at it that way. No, I think that
should we be?
I don't know. I don't know.
I don't know. I don't know.
I guess that's a good segue, right? Into sort of what we're talking about today. And we do want to talk about tardiness and lateness and talk about what does that mean in today's work landscape? Because, you know, I think to start off this conversation, and yeah, we can talk about money and all of that, but we need to talk about the kinds of workers that we have in today's workforce. Because in today's workforce, you have your shift workers, you have your hybrid and remote workers, you have your blue collar, white collar, mixed between gray collar. Right. Mix between all of those things. You know, you have people who have been in the office working the same hours, people who are job sharing, working different hours every week, right?
Right.
So there's so many different worker segments that come into play here.
Mm-hmm. You're right. And I hate saying this because I'm so tired of talking about it, but COVID changed this tremendously, right? Mm-hmm. And when we think about lateness, tardiness, et cetera, my first question is, do we even care? Right? Like, do we even care?
Well, I think managers do.
Well, you know, my first thought with this, now I'm just going to share a little bit about me, right, Jules? So I grew up, and I know probably similar for you, I grew up in a household that was very, very punctual, like almost militaristic punctual, right? You're on time is early. In the Fields household.
What?
On time is being early. That's how punctual the way I was raised was.
Or you mean on time is being late?
Oh, that's what I meant. Well, no, the same. I guess you could use it either way. To be on time for us was to always be early, if that makes sense.
Okay. So
if
something started. I get what you mean. You could say
I actually had a band teacher that said on time is late. Early is on time is late. And if you're late, you're dead. I kid you not. And I wasn't that's what he said.
I'm telling you, not that you should be telling a middle
schooler that, but so when I think about it, it's today, based on what you just described and with COVID, it's a very gray area. But I have to recognize, like, my internal is, it's very hard for me to accept lateness outside of extenuating circumstances. What do you think? Where are you coming from?
Yeah, there's lots of different perspectives when you think about lateness at work and how that concept has changed over time and how it's changed by industry, by company, by geography, by circumstance. I try to be on time. I'm probably not quite as, I don't know, it's cerebral about it as you, or I wasn't raised to be late, but I was raised, you know, if I have a meeting, like, I want to be there on time because to me, it's a sign of respect.
Agreed.
It's a sign of respect for other people's time. And I guess that's one way that employees can look at it. Showing up on time is a sign of respect to the organization, valuing their time. Their time is money. It's all correlated.
Right.
But, you know, where we are in today's employment landscape, I think some of the lines have been blurred based on the different, significantly based on the newer and more prevalent segments of work. What?
I thought you were going to say a swear jar, new world of work.
Newer segments of work because, you know, we talk about those hybrid employees and we talk about the folks who work remotely. What does being late for work look like in that realm? What do you think?
Well, it's hard because I go from the standard perspective, right? So you look back over the last, you know, pre-COVID, if you were late, you were considered a bad employee, right? Mm-hmm. Like that's mass generalization, but spent a lot of time in construction, manufacturing environments, and et cetera, right? So there are things that we can put in place. We'll talk about that in a minute, but what I look at it is, how do you hold an organization to the same standards now that we've convoluted, the different types of workers there are? You know, is it even feasible to hold people to the same, you know, single line standard where before it was you show up for your shift, or if you're a white collar employee, you're there from 9 to 5, and that's the way that it is. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's the right approach anymore. I think it's got to be blended. What do you think?
Yeah. With organizations that have shift work, it's pretty gray because there is no gray you show up on time or you don't show up on time. If your shift starts at 8 a.m., you're expected to be there at 8 a.m. But the question becomes, what happens if you have an employee who consistently shows up at 8:11 a.m.? Consistently. And then I remember, Chaz, when I was a practitioner, I'd have managers come to my office and say, so-and-so for the last 2 weeks has been showing up at 8:11 a.m. instead of 8 a.m. Mm-hmm. And I would then say, well, is this person a good employee otherwise, right? Well, yeah, they're great. They've been here XYZ number of years, et cetera. You know, we want to retain this person. How do we fix this? And the answer may be that the organization has to pivot a little bit and be a little more agile and be a little bit more thinking out of the box. And they need to talk to that employee and say, hey, we see that you're able to make shifts at 8:11 a.m., but not 8 a.m. What's this about? And two, perhaps we should start your shift at 8:15 a.m.
Well, so here's my question with that, and I'm gonna poke holes in this a little bit.
That's fine.
And I don't think that what you did was wrong. In fact, I think it was very good that you did that. How do you back that up? And mind you, this was, I would assume, the environment you worked in, just knowing you was pretty much that way. It was shift work. You showed up
24/7,
right? So whether white collar employee, blue collar, et cetera, service employee,
service providers,
right. Services. So So I guess, how did you back that up? Did you write a policy to enforce it? You know,
No.
I didn't write a policy to enforce it.
It was your shift is 8 a.m. You can't get there until 8:11. So instead of punishing you, we're going to meet you where you are. Now, I understand that that can't work for every shift or every organization. Right. And there are certain jobs that you have to be there, you know, a certain amount of time, or at a certain time. Mm-hmm. But in my instance, you know, it was, we're going to be punitive.
Right.
Or are we going to be malleable to the point where we're working with this employee because we want to retain them? I think it becomes also a matter of retention. Do you want to retain the employees that show up late? And you know what I used to do too, Chaz? So when I was a practitioner, and I would have these conversations with managers, and they would tell me so-and-so is coming in late. So I would call that person to my office, the late person to my office, and say, hey, let's have a conversation about this. And I'd have a conversation about it. But this is what I did in order to change their mindset about what the consequences of being late are.
Right.
I told them every person that they affect by being late. And it's a trickle down. And then so when you take it from the accusatory of you're always late to, I recognize that you're late, but I need you to understand what happens when you are late. It affects five other people, or it affects these processes or this workflow. And then it gets people thinking, okay, well, I don't want to be that person.
Uh-huh.
So
it's interesting because I don't necessarily know a lot of HR or even payroll people who look at tardiness in that regard. And with that, I struggle with, hold on, give me just a second. I really struggle with it. They should, right? They should. Mm-hmm. And when it comes to that, it typically falls within operations, right? It typically falls in with finance and operations, and they look at productivity, and that's usually where some people who aren't focused on it just stop. Okay, productivity, and you think about labor forecasting. Where I spent some time in a manufacturing facility, and I saw, you know, how food is prepared and gets to your freezer. And what I think about it is there's about 5 million different ways you can dissect, you know, time studies and how things are manufactured from the time that the food that starts at the beginning of the process all the way to the freezer. I'm sparing a lot of details here. Mm-hmm. And I think about if one individual shows up late, or even if one, portion of the chain is not occupied by whatever food is being produced, it's impacting the profit of that organization significantly.
Yeah.
And because if one is not, then it's two, then it's three. And what I listen to you say is it fair to the rest of the employees, and how do you define fairness if they do show up late? And even though it's subjective, the application of what you did without using good technology kept a good employee around. So yes, you let them be tardy, right? Quote unquote, they were late or tardy, but you changed the narrative to say, okay, what can we do to keep you around? Because it's going to be equally, if not more expensive, if that employee leaves. Did I miss that?
I don't want that employee to leave because it's going to cost me more money to hire and train a new employee.
Right.
You know, maybe I can influence behavior to where that influence helps the organization and also the employee to understand more responsibility and understand, you know, the impacts of them, of what their being late does. I think it brings up this whole talk on lateness and what does it mean, brings up two other things that we've talked about in previous episodes,
which are
the first is the 4-day work week. And the question with that is, would a 4-day work week, do you think, have any impact on employees showing up late or not. I don't know that I feel like it works.
I feel like you have to schedule it even more with a four day yeah. work week. I think so. I dug into this a little bit more today, and I know the pilot program, the 4 day work week, happened in the UK, and it's becoming a bigger conversation here in the States. Here's the difference: is 46% of the UK's goods and services are imported.
Okay.
So let's just call it 50%. Let's half of that. How does that change the landscape of the conversation logistically if 50% of what you have in your country is brought in by other countries who don't operate on a 4 day work week? Like mm-hmm. there's a massive scale that we really need to look at. But I think when you talk about the 4 day work week, I do think tardiness or lateness, whatever it is going to be more relevant because you have to cram it in within, you know, your 10 fours or your four mm-hmm. tens. Now, there are cool things that a lot of companies do that I've worked with. You know, there's point systems that yep. keep you from being terminated. There's, you know, good technology, or, you know, depending on your environment, you may need don and doff pay, where you let employees, you know, get ready to do the job they have and you pay them for that time, even though they're not actually quote unquote producing. You know, there are caveats to this, but I think it boils down to being flexible to some degree. The example mm-hmm. you gave, even though they were late and you modified their schedule, what I hear that situation, you know, what comes of that situation is you're building a culture of trust around your people and you're meeting people where they're at. And I lost you again. Uh-oh. I lost
you. Did we freeze there for a second?
We did. I think you're back.
Uh-oh. Did we freeze? I'm back though. Yeah. What? Hey, we do this in real time, folks. We do this in real time. So, so you know, I think also what this brings up a conversation about is night owl versus early birds and lateness.
Ooh.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because so? Because when I worked in an office, when I worked, you know, behind a desk for many years, I tried to get to work on time, right? But there were some mornings that I just couldn't do it. So it became sort of a known, like I was going to show up at a certain time, and that's
right.
And it was just something that the organization sort of, you know. Mm-hmm. Understood. I think I don't want people to think that what Chaz and I are saying is it's okay to be late. I don't, I hope that's not what you're getting out of this discussion. Mm-hmm. I do hope that what you're getting out of this discussion is that there are new things to consider.
Right.
When it comes to lateness. And I think one of the most important things about it is for you as an organization to identify what's lateness to you.
Yeah, I would also agree that the term standardization doesn't do the workplace justice anymore to say everything has to be standardized when it comes to this specific topic, right? If I want to keep a good employee, then I need to consider hybrid or remote. If I want to keep a good employee, I most certainly need to have flexible scheduling. If I want to have a good organizational culture, maybe we need to have the ability to drop or to shift swap, right?
Yeah.
I'm not saying that I don't know that I'll ever be in the camp that I can say lateness is okay. You know, mm-hmm. extenuating circumstance, absolutely, right? It's genetic almost how much I despise being late to things. But I do know, or I will speak from my truth, I think that flexible scheduling is not going to go anywhere.
No, flexible scheduling won't go anywhere. And something else to consider is that, so says the person from the tech company, right? In order to enforce lateness, you mm-hmm. have to have good technology to track time. Because right. if you're using manual processes to track time, then it's going to be a word against somebody else's word.
Right.
Because people can fudge times that they put on paper all the time.
Right. Right.
So, you know, I think it's important to have that for your staff.
And I'll finish with this, and maybe we can talk about just the personal side of being late. I think it's really easy to fall into the habit of being late, you know, for whatever reason. You know, the story that we talked about prior to this was, man, we modified a shift for somebody and yet they still continued to be late, right? So yeah. Then it becomes personal. And I think about, are we talking to employees about their attention to detail? Are we talking about the external factors that may be going on within, you know, their home or their life? And to change the mindset of someone who's habitually late, you know, we have to talk about micro changes. What, you know, at the end of the day, the question becomes, if you go around the flexible scheduling model or you try and do some of the things that we talk about, there may not be a standardization.
Right.
There may not be a standardization. It may be a case-by-case basis.
It may be case-by-case. It may be department by department. It may be section of worker versus section of worker. And, you know, we'd love to know. I mean, reach out to us. Let us know what you're doing for lateness. Because no longer, I think, can lateness just be, oh, you're late, I'm going to write you up, and then you do nothing about it. And because if you're still doing write-ups, that's another conversation that we need to have.
Oh. Sounds like you got an episode for next, you know,
think,
for the next
I think we might. So, before my computer crashes again, Chaz, what did you find your purpose in today?
There's no right answer.
Yeah.
I found my purpose, and there's no right answer to addressing this in a way that's going to be the quote unquote standard process. I don't think that that's the case. What about you?
Yeah, I think being open-minded when it comes to lateness and working with the employee is really the way to go. So, you know, I think, and again, I think there's a lot of nuances here. So a few reminders before we leave. Don't forget to like and subscribe and use the hashtag PeoplePurposePod on social media, on sites like Twitter and LinkedIn, really LinkedIn. And then also be sure to check out the latest blogs and research from the Workforce Institute at UKG by checking out workforceinstitute.org. Hey, before it gets too late, Chaz, we better head out. So thanks, everybody.
Thanks for listening. Cheers. Bye.